We've been on the wonderful Word of God. Please stand out of love and respect for the wonderful Word of God. We are here in Psalm 119. And in Psalm 119, we are tonight going to accomplish something. We are going to be, at the end of tonight's message, halfway through. Halfway through. Aren't you excited? Isn't that joyous? Yes. And it's there's a marker. A point of achievement, and I'm excited about it, I'll tell you that. But I have enjoyed this study. I have certainly enjoyed trying to, if you will, pick the brain of the psalmist and find out why he says these things and why it took him 176 verses to do so. Isn't that what you want to know? Why did it have to be this long? Okay, right? I mean, that's what I'm trying to figure out. I'm halfway to figuring it out. So one person got that. Okay. All right. You got to get through the rest of the book. Okay. Anyways. All right. Let's read all together verses 81 through 88 of Psalm 119, beginning in verse 81. My soul fainteth for thy salvation, but I hope in thy word. Mine eyes fail for thy word, saying, when wilt thou comfort me? For I am become like a bottle in the smoke. Yet do I not forget thy statutes. How many are the days of thy servant? When wilt thou execute judgment on them that persecute me? The proud have digged pits for me, which are not after thy law. All thy commandments are faithful. They persecute me wrongfully. Help thou me. They had almost consumed me upon earth, but I forsook not thy precepts. Quicken me after thy loving kindness. So shall I keep the testimony of my mouth. So we know that David has kind of been a little bit down in these eight verses. And if you go back just in quick review, and in verse 81 he says, my soul fainteth for thy salvation, but I hope in thy word. In verse 82, mine eyes fail for thy word, saying, when wilt thou comfort me? For I am become like a bottle in the smoke, yet do I not forget thy statutes. He's expressing his discouragement and kind of being worn out and worn down and kind of even hardened by the world. And maybe even hardened like a bottle in the smoke would be hardened to the point that would be past being usable. And he just said the proud, they've laid these snares against your law, and they've digged pits for me, and all these things, and they persecute me wrongfully, and all of this is against me. And in verse 86, we read the words, help thou me. As David was crying out to his God for help, as he often did in the Psalms. And as we look at tonight's verse, in verse 87, he says, they had almost consumed me upon earth. If you can think of the word consumed, wasted, burnt up, destroyed, dissipated, squandered, expended, you can almost kind of feel how he felt by the words he used and by those verses in verses 81 and 82 and 83 and 84 and 85 and 86. To the point where he cries out, help thou me. And he says, And he says, they had almost consumed me upon earth. And I don't know if you've ever come to the point where you've kind of felt all used up. Or just drained down to the point where you don't think that you can go on. God is our help. God is our refuge. God is our strength. He's the one that we cry out to. And David says, they had almost consumed me upon earth, but I forsook not thy precepts. See, I didn't turn away. I did not quit. I did not, even though I was drained down to the very last, I stayed where I was supposed to stay. I did not scrap it all. I did not say, forget all of this. I did not just throw it all aside and cast it all aside and go to something different. I stayed put. I did not forsake your precepts. God, I stayed true. Even though I was empty, I stayed true. You know, I hope that in our lives and in our darkest moments, we can be like the psalmist and say, they had almost consumed me. They had almost consumed me. You understand the proud, the wicked. They are trying to consume us completely. They are trying to make us wasted, burnt up, destroyed, dissipated, squandered, and expended. But we must not give up. We must not forsake His precepts, His laws, His commandments, and His testimonies. God is faithful. He is. Even in our darkest moments, He is faithful. In Lamentations, we may have read this before, but it fits perfectly. He says, this I recall to my mind, therefore have I hope. It is of the Lord's mercies that we are not consumed, because His compassions fail not. They are new every morning. Great is Thy faithfulness. I mean, even when we're at the lowest moments, and through all these things, and these things that David was going through were very real to him in his life. And for some of us, you've been through circumstances, or perhaps even now going through circumstances, that you feel almost consumed. But be like the psalmist and forsake not His precepts. These are the things that we can have hope in, because it's the Lord's mercies that we are not consumed, because His compassions fail not. They are new every morning. Great is Thy faithfulness. Proverbs chapter 1, verses 8 through 19. My son, hear the instruction of thy father. Forsake not the law of thy mother. For they shall be an ornament of grace unto thy head, and chains about thy neck. My son, if sinners entice thee, consent thou not. If they say, come with us, let us lay wait for blood. Let us lurk privately for the innocent without cause. Let us swallow them up alive as the grave, and whole as those that go down into the pit. We shall find all precious substance. We shall fill our houses with spoil. Cast in thy lot among us. Let us all have one purse. My son, walk not thou in the way with them. Refrain thy foot from their path, for their feet run to evil, and make haste to shed blood. Surely in vain the net is spread in the sight of any bird. They lay wait for their own blood. They lurk privately for their own lives. So are the ways of everyone that is greedy of gain, which taketh away the life of the owners thereof. Hey, the world is trying to get us to go their way. They're trying to lure us. They're trying to deceive us. They're trying to trick us. They want to wear us down and wear us down and wear us down and wear us down to the point that we'll just cast God aside and follow after the world. Follow after them. The proud are that way. The wicked are that way. The world is that way. And you know what? The devil's just going to wear you down and wear you down and wear you down and wear you down so that you'll forsake God. Solomon said, don't forsake the law. It shall be an ornament of grace unto thy head and chains about thy neck. If sinners can entice thee, consent thou not. Don't give up. Don't give in. Don't forsake the law of God. Remember over in Luke chapter 15, the prodigal son. You know, we've talked about this story. We've had lessons from here. But can I say to you, the younger of them, lived in the Father's house, worked with the Father, learned from the Father, received from the Father, and somewhere, somehow, the world got to him. Why did one of them stay home and stay with the Father? Why did one of them decide to leave? You understand? You see, this can happen to us. We can get worn down to the point. He thought it was the best for him to gather his substance and go into a far country. And the Bible says, and there wasted his substance with riotous living. That simply means it was against what the Father did. It was riotous. It was against something different than what he was used to. It was a mutiny on the way of life that he had been taught. He cast it aside. He forsook the precepts of the Father for those of the world. Maybe something in this young man's life had worn him down to a point that he gave it up. That he gave up the Father and the Father's house and the things of the Father. Well, when he had spent all, there arose a mighty famine in that land, and he began to be in want. You know what they say? That sin will take you farther than you want to go. Right? It'll cost you more than you wanted to pay and keep you longer than you wanted to stay. You understand that the devil puts out sin and the pleasures of this world out there as a shiny, bright, shiny apple. And listen, if sin wasn't pleasurable for a season as it is, nobody would want to do it. You understand? Oh, there's a lure there. And especially since we are built that way. It's a war. This young man, he gave in. He did forsake all that he knew. All that he had. It says he began to be in want. It left him in a miserable state. Even more miserable than maybe he thought he was when he turned to the world to get relief from his misery. You know, we've teased before how young people say, well, I want to get out of all these rules and I want to get underneath all this. I'm going to join the military. Yeah, okay, genius. You're a bright spot in this world. But you know what? We maybe get worn down. We get weary in well-doing sometimes. We think the world has all the answers. It doesn't. It doesn't. He began to be in want. When he came to himself, ha ha ha, the light bulb flickered. It did. He said, hey, how many of my hired servants of my father's have bread enough and to spare, and I perish with hunger? You know, almost consumed. Don't be like the prodigal and give up on God because he will not fail us. In Galatians chapter 5, it says, stand fast, therefore, in the liberty wherewith Christ hath made us free, and be not entangled again with the yoke of bondage. Behold, I, Paul, say unto you that if ye be circumcised, Christ shall profit you nothing. For I testify again to every man that is circumcised, that he is a debtor to do the whole law. Christ has become of no effect unto you. For whosoever of you are justified by the law, ye are fallen from grace. For we, through the Spirit, wait for the hope of righteousness by faith. For in Jesus Christ neither circumcision availeth anything, nor uncircumcision. But faith with worketh by love. Ye did run well. Who did hinder you that ye should not obey the truth? This persuasion cometh not of him that calleth you. A little leaven leaveneth the whole lump. I have confidence in you through the Lord, that ye will be none otherwise minded.
But he that troubleth you shall bear his judgment, whosoever he be. You understand that there are some people out there trying to trick us. There are some that are trying to wear us down to the point that we're going to give up hope. But we cannot. We must not. He says later on in this passage, this I say, then walk in the Spirit, and ye shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. For the flesh lusteth against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh. And these are contrary one to the other, so that ye cannot do the things that ye would. You understand that we are called to endure these things. Endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. In James chapter 1 it says, blessed is the man that endureth temptation. For when he is tried, he shall receive the crown of life, which the Lord hath promised to them that love him. Let no man say when he is tempted, I am tempted of God, for God cannot be tempted with evil. Neither he tempteth any man. But every man is tempted when he is drawn away of his own lust and enticed. Then when lust hath conceived, it bringeth forth sin. And sin, when it is finished, bringeth forth death. Do not err, my beloved brethren. You understand that there are times where we give in to the world. And there are times when the world wears us down and wears us down and wears us down. And we end up forsaking the precepts of God. The very things that are there and in place to protect us. And to sustain us. And to help us in our time of need. You understand that the psalmist says that the proud had almost consumed him. Almost. He was at a breaking point. And he said, yet I forsook not thy precepts. Go back to Psalm 119, if you would. Look at verse 88. Verse 88. We get this word again. Now, notice that this is at the end of the 8 verses. Everybody okay with the order of how these things are rolling here, okay? So he's going through this progression of these difficulties, and he's, if you will, hanging on by a thread by saying things like, but I forsook not thy precepts. And he says, but I hope in thy word. And he says, yet do I not forget thy statutes. He's grasping at straws here. He's holding on to these things but we can see the weight of the world bearing down upon him. And then he makes this statement, which of course we've already studied, but we're going to go over it a little bit in a different light here. He says this, quicken me after thy loving kindness. Vivify. Remember, we talked about that before. Bring me back to life. Revive, resuscitate me. Make me alive again. I don't want to be in this state. I don't want to be at the end of my rope. I don't want to be as one that's trodden down and just reaching up saying, I don't want to be like the prodigal there, feigning to eat and fill my belly with the husk that the swine did eat. But rather, I want to be restored. I want to be revived. I want to be leaping and praising God and abounding with life. And teeming with life and spilling over with the abundance that God has for me. Quicken me after thy loving kindness. You see, there are times where we need revival. We get depressed. We get downtrodden. We get to a point where everything is weighing upon us. And we need God to vivify us again. You know that old song, revive us again. We need revival, folks. There are times, we're not going to stay on the mountaintop all the time. You understand that's unrealistic. Okay? Even for an eternal optimist like myself, there are times. You understand, we're not built to just stay up here all the time like this. This is not going to happen. We're going to go through the valleys and the mountaintops and the valleys and the mountaintops and valleys and mountaintops. But that's how it's going to be. Maybe not to the extent of the children of Israel. but maybe. You understand that we need Him to quicken us. In Romans chapter 8, if you want to turn your Bibles over there, we can help this process by how we live our lives. He says, quicken me after thy loving kindness. God's loving kindness is toward His servants. He does love us. He is faithful to us. He wants us to be alive, not dead. Are you there in Romans chapter 8? There is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus. Hey, this is alive, right? This is good. Well, which ones? Which ones that are in Christ Jesus? Oh, the ones that walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus hath made me free from the law of sin and death. For what the law could not do, in that it was weak through the flesh, God sending His own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh, and for sin condemned sin in the flesh, that the righteousness of the law might be fulfilled in us, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. For they that are after the flesh do mind the things of the flesh, but they that are after the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. For to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. Because the carnal mind is enmity against God, for it is not subject to the law of God, neither indeed can be. So then they that are in the flesh cannot please God. But ye are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit. If so be that the Spirit of God dwell in you. Now if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he is none of His. And if Christ be in you, the body is dead because of sin, but the Spirit is life because of righteousness. But if the Spirit of Him that raised up Jesus from the dead dwell in you, He that raised up Christ from the dead shall also quicken your mortal bodies by His Spirit that dwelleth in you. You know, in Sunday school, the last several weeks, we had been talking about the Holy Spirit of God. And listen, if we can learn to live filled with the Spirit, we can be made alive. We can have that life. We can have that abundance. We can have that strength and power in our lives as Christians. In Psalm 138, verses 1 through 8, David said, I will praise thee with my whole heart. Before the gods I will sing praise unto thee. I will worship toward thy holy temple and praise thy name for thy loving kindness and for thy truth. For thou hast magnified thy word above all thy name. In the day when I cried, thou answeredest me and strengthenedest me with strength in my soul. All the kings of the earth shall praise thee, O Lord, when they hear the words of thy mouth. Yea, they shall sing in the ways of the Lord, for great is the glory of the Lord. Though the Lord be high, yet hath he respect unto the lowly, but the proud He knoweth afar off. Though I walk in the midst of trouble, thou wilt revive me. Thou shalt stretch forth thine hand against the wrath of mine enemies, and thy right hand shall save me. The Lord will perfect that which concerneth me. Thy mercy, O Lord, endureth forever. Forsake not the works of thine own hands. You see, God is the one that quickens us. He's the one that revives us. And His Spirit in us is enough to make us alive again in Christ Jesus. You understand that I'm not talking about losing your salvation and getting it back. But rather, when we either we turn away from God, or we're lured away from God, or just the fact that we just let the world get to us like it did to Peter when he was out there on the water walking to Jesus. God gave him the ability to do that. But when he began to notice the things of the world, he began to sink. When he noticed the waves beating up, and he began to fear, and he took his eyes off the Lord, he got pressed down. And Christ reached down and grabbed him and pulled him up out of the water. He's there for us. Quicken me according to thy loving kindness. Remember our story we were talking about with the prodigal son? He came to his senses. He said, I'll go back to the father. And I would rather just be one of his servants than necessarily a son. Because those servants had it better than I've got it right now. And he goes back. And the father restores him. He vivifies him. He makes him alive again. Resuscitating, bringing back life. And you know what? He saw him. He had compassion on him. He ran and fell on his neck and kissed him. And the son said unto him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and in thy sight, and am no more worthy to be called thy son. But the father said to his servants, bring forth the best robe and put it on him, and put a ring on his hand and shoes on his feet, and bring hither the fatted calf and kill it. Let us eat and be merry, for this my son was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. No matter how far you get away from God, you know how long it takes to get back? That's it. Now listen, there's going to be some baggage. There's going to be some things and scars in your life that you cannot undo. But God loves you. His loving kindness sustains you. Hey, listen. God is wanting to forgive us. He's wanting to cleanse us. He's wanting to welcome us home. Now can I tell you something? As the conversation goes with the other son, who was not very so much happy with the younger son being accepted back into the household. That younger son did lose some of his rewards, if you will. He already squandered his inheritance. But he was still a son. You understand that in our lives, as we get to the place where... And it's not always that we're consumed because of our own choices. Sometimes just the oppression of things in our lives beats us down. But sometimes it's our own doing that we're at the end of our rope and at the bottom of the pit, if you will. But God wants to make us alive. He doesn't want us to live at the bottom of the barrel. He doesn't want us to live in the pig pen. He doesn't want us to stay beaten down by the world and maybe even to live with the devil having his foot on our neck and pressing us into the ground. That's not how God wants us to live. He wants us to live an abundant life. He wants us to live a life that is alive and vivified. For they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. You understand that God wants us to be restored. God wants us to be brought back to life. Remember what it says in Galatians? Brethren, if a man be overtaken in a fault, ye which are spiritual, restore such an one in the spirit of meekness, considering thyself, lest thou also be tempted. Bear ye one another's burdens, and so fulfill the law of Christ. For if a man think himself to be something when he is nothing, he deceiveth himself. But let every man prove his own work, and then shall he have rejoicing in himself alone, and not in another. For every man shall bear his own burden. Let him that is taught in the word communicate unto him that teacheth in all good things. Be not deceived, God is not mocked. For whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. For he that soweth to his flesh shall the flesh reap corruption. But he that soweth to the Spirit shall of the Spirit reap life everlasting. And let us not be weary in well-doing. For in due season we shall reap if we faint not. As we have therefore opportunity, let us do good unto all men, especially unto them who are of the household of faith. Go back to Psalm 119. At the end of this sort of depressing group of verses, he says, quicken me after thy loving kindness. so shall I keep the testimony of thy mouth. Can I say something about the testimony of God? It's impeccable. It's impeccable. It's above reproach. It cannot be slighted. Any mud slung at it just falls right off. You see, God's testimony is one that we can hang our hat on. You know, our own testimony oftentimes can be maligned or can be somewhat shady or shaky and even spotty at times. But God's is not. It is true. It is a perfect record. God is faithful. He says, so shall I keep the testimony of thy mouth. God is true to, in his loving kindness, quicken us. He is true to be our help in our time of need. He is true as he helps us when our soul fainteth and our eyes fail and we become a bottle in the smoke. No longer useful when we fall into the pits of the proud. When we succumb to the snares of the wicked. God and his testimony is faithful. And it's true. So shall I keep the testimony of thy mouth. You know what's interesting about that word keep? It does mean to hold or retain. You understand that? But here's this too. To keep anything in the memory, mind, or heart. You know what? Maybe the psalmist is saying, God, make me alive again after thy loving kindness, and I'm going to remember your testimony. I'm going to remember that you did this for me. I'm going to remember who you are to me, how you've helped me in my time of need, how you've brought me out of the pit, how you've saved me from the proud, how you've rescued me from this and spared me from that. God, I'm going to keep that. I'm going to keep the testimony of thy mouth. Because you said it, and you did it, and you kept your promises, and you were true to me, my God. So shall I keep the testimony of thy mouth. You know what we tend to forget? We tend to forget all the good that God has done and been to us. Especially when we're almost consumed. Especially when we're a bottle in the smoke. Especially when our soul fainted. Especially when our eyes fail. Especially when we're persecuted wrongfully. Especially when pits are dug for us that are not after the law of God. We forget. We forget. Can I tell you something? God has been so good to us. More than we ever deserve. He has been good. Do not forget. Do not lose the memory of what God has done. We ought to remember God, that he is faithful. In Psalm 25 it says, good and upright is the Lord. Therefore will he teach sinners in the way. The meek will he guide in judgment. And the meek will he teach his way. All the paths of the Lord are mercy and truth unto such as keep his covenant and his testimonies. Go to Proverbs chapter 4 if you would. We're going to kind of wrap things up here in Proverbs chapter 4 and Proverbs chapter 7. In Proverbs chapter 4, Solomon is trying to pass on wisdom and knowledge to his son. Trying to help him remember some things. And unfortunately, Rehoboam did not take to these, and we ought to do the opposite. We ought to heed them. But listen to what he says here, or look at what he says in verse 1. Hear ye children the instruction of a father, and attend to no understanding. For I give you good doctrine. Forsake ye not my law. For I was my father's son, tender and only beloved in the sight of my mother. He taught me also and said unto me, let thine heart retain my words, and keep my commandments and live. Get wisdom, get understanding, forget it not, neither decline from the words of my mouth. Forsake her not, and she shall preserve thee. Love her, and she shall keep thee. Wisdom is the principal thing, therefore get wisdom. And with all thy getting, get understanding. Exalt her, and she shall promote thee. She shall bring thee to honor when thou dost embrace her. She shall give to thine head an ornament of grace, and a crown of glory shall she deliver unto thee. Hear, O my son, and receive my sayings, and the years of thy life shall be many. Oh, forget not God and his words and his works, his wisdom, his knowledge, his understanding. Do not forget. Keep them. They are the testimonies of his mouth. They are trustworthy. In chapter 7 of the book of Proverbs, Solomon once again says, my son, keep my words. Retain them. Hold on to them. Keep them in your memory, your mind, and your heart. Doing all in one's power to not let them go or part with them. My son, keep my words and lay up my commandments with thee. I think he forgot what he said because he says it again. Keep my commandments and live. And my law as the apple of thine eye. Bind them upon thy fingers. Write them upon the table of thine heart. Say unto wisdom, thou art my sister. And call understanding thy kinswoman. That they may keep thee from the strange woman. From the stranger with which flattereth with her words. You understand that in verse 5, that can pertain to the world, to the proud, to the devil, to the flesh, to all those things that are trying to put us down, to all those things that are trying to consume us. How do we go about getting above that and away from all of that? By keeping the testimony of his mouth. We need to remember. We need to make sure we do all in our power not to lose or part with these things. What was the downfall of Rehoboam? He set those things aside. And he decided to listen to the kids his age instead of the wise sayings of his father and the counselors of his father. And that was his downfall. So back in Psalm 119, as we wrap this up, I think very appropriately, David ends with the statement in verse 88, quicken me after thy loving kindness, so shall I keep the testimony of thy mouth. God, I've heard what you promised. I've read what you said. You are true. You are not a liar. I'm going to keep this. I'm not going to let it go. You've made me alive again. You've saved me from the pits and the snares. You've helped me when I've been almost consumed. You've been my rock and my stay. And I'm not going to forget. I'm not going to forsake. I'm not going to leave you and cast you aside. I'm going to stay true to you, my God, who is true to me. You know, I don't know. Maybe that's not how David felt. I seem to think it is. And there are times in our lives where either because of the oppression and the weight of the world that we're in, or perhaps sometimes because of our own choices, we may find ourselves in a state where we feel almost consumed. We need God to make us alive. And we need to remember all that He's done for us and keep His testimonies. We need to understand that God does love us. He is for us. And He wants us to be successful. He doesn't want us to be downtrodden. He doesn't want us to be fainting and failing and becoming as smoke or as a bottle in the smoke and unusable. He doesn't want us questioning Him and when these things are going to come to pass. And He doesn't want us falling into pits and snares of the proud. He doesn't want us being consumed. He doesn't want us wrongfully persecuted. He wants us to be made alive and rejoicing in the testimonies of our God. That's what He wants for us. Do not give up on God. He is faithful. He will bring you through. And don't forget that you're never going to be tempted above that which you are able to bear. Oh, it may seem dark. We talked about this morning. You need to trust God. You need to delight in Him. You need to commit your ways to Him. And you need to rest in Him. I think the psalmist said it well. This is real. These things do happen in our lives. These times come for many Christians. And can I sadly say that some succumb to it. And they're shipwrecked. Their lives are ruined and wasted. They are consumed by the enemy. Don't forget that the devil is as a roaring lion. He's trying to devour you. He's seeking whom he may devour. He's looking for an opportunity. Don't give him that opportunity. God will sustain you in your darkest times. Well, it's the wonderful word of God, amen? Aren't you glad we have it? And all the people are rejoicing because we're halfway through.